So, Johnny, I noticed when you bring the pulpit up here, it's just one guy. But for the teenagers, it takes two of them. Way to be an old guy that's strong. And thanks for, I got it right here.
Oh, you sure?
No. Guys, thanks. Hey, what a great day it is. You know, as I think about Hope Church, I think about the purpose class is going on, what happened. Here's what you need to know about Hope. We're here to help you grow in Christ. You got to do it. The church is not here to meet all of your needs and have every club you want. The church, Hope Church, is here to help you grow in God. And that is our sole purpose. And I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of good time in the book of Ephesians. This is the wrap-up of all of Ephesians, week 19. I mean, that's a lot of weeks. And I have enjoyed this book. I have learned so many things. And today's kind of a different deal. I'm not even sure. I don't even know if I've ever done this. It's kind of hokey, but I like the title of my sermon today. I mean, like I just made it up. And so just to appease me, you know, and kind of make me feel good, can you say my title with me? Because it's supposed to be kind of catchy. And I grew up in California, but now I live in Arkansas. So my sermon starts like, all right, here you go. You don't have to say it yet, but see if you can get this. It's kind of me like doing the Arkansas thing. No, you know, like the for y'all, you know what I'm saying, y'all? All right, so here's my sermon. For y'all, all four, that's all. Almost. So just a four-year-old is the Arkansas part, and the rest of it's just kind of... Okay. I don't know. Here's the deal. I've seen some of you sleep while I preach. I've actually, after a big lunch, have fallen asleep during my own sermon. So stuff like this helps, okay? All right, we're going to try it. All right, here we go. Oh, and there's a hand movement. All right. Oh my gosh, Jim, it's like a train wreck and I haven't even started. All right, here we go. For y'all, all four, stop. No, not stop, you stop. Oh my gosh. All right, so when it's all four, you gotta give me the all four. All right, we could do like high five, but no, there's four things, not five today. Okay, we'll start over. All right, for y'all, all four. Wait. That's all. Almost. I just love you guys. I mean, thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. Okay. That's all. Yeah. All right. Listen to what Ephesians 6 says. A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. We've talked about this. This is super valuable to you. We're going to talk about the armor of God. We have for weeks, but the armor of God doesn't work unless you have the power of God to make that armor work. That is a big deal. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We talked about that. We're battling a battle that is not necessarily noticeable to the human eye, but to the spiritual soul. It's huge. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist in the time of evil. So, I mean, here's like, all right, why are we doing this? This next verse says it. Then after the battle, you will be able to stand firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the gospel that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So powerful. So powerful. I actually like that verse 10, and then when we get to verse 18, be strong in the Lord. He has to be the CEO. He has to be the one who makes the armor work. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. God never said, hey, do this alone. Hey, you're on your own. And gosh, in the last year or so, I've felt isolated. I felt like, how can I? And it's like, no. Jim, where's your focus? My focus has got to be on the Lord and the power of his might. And then, oh, this verse that's coming up, you know, here's the deal. Take all the battle armor that God gives, but God does battle through us when we pray. I mean, I don't even know how else. It's our thoughts interwoven with God's thoughts matter. They matter so much. And a prayerless life is like a battle armor that's full of rust. It just doesn't work. Now, prayer is not easy. I mean, at least it's not easy for me. But listen to what this says. Oh, by the way, a couple of times I'm going to have you repeat the title just to kind of, just so you're known. Okay. Listen to what this says here. Okay, here's the, you don't have to do anything. The four alls, right? You're going to hear them like right now. Okay. With all prayer and petition, pray at, you can say it. Gosh, are you here or what? Half of you. Okay. All times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be alert with. Wow. You're like preaching back to me. This is like, I feel like I'm connecting or something. Perseverance and petition for all saints. I'm going to tell you that prayers changed my life. As a teenager, when I was going a direction that it just wasn't good, a prayer literally changed my life. Literally changed my life. Over the years, multiple prayers have changed my life. But I remember, I don't remember how many years ago, maybe it was 8 or 10 years ago, I felt like God spoke to me and said, in January, I need you to pray an hour a day. I'm like, no. Have you ever been there like an hour a day? You know, I'm a pastor and I've met people like, oh, I'm called to intercede, like I'm an intercessor. What does that mean? Well, I can just pray for hours on end. I'm like, I'm a pastor and it's really hard for me. But I felt like this was like a serious thing. Pray for an hour a day. Well, what do you pray for an hour a day? I can pray for the entire world in like 2 minutes. Got it. Lord, we don't mean it. Just take care of all of it. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We're in between. You got it covered. Amen. No, Jim. It wasn't for him. It was for me. And it took a while. Okay, is it an hour? Oh, 4 minutes. Great, Lord. Let's go back at it. You know, and you're thinking, God, are there other universes out there? Do they need prayer, Lord? Can you let the people on other planets, if there are other planets, know that I care about them? I mean, you know, and I just got better at it. Oh, man, Lord, we're there 13 minutes. Hallelujah. And I persisted. Jim, you got to pray. You got to pray. And it changed my life because I didn't know that I was going to have a little accident And I was going to have one of my bullets fall over me in my garage and mess up my back. I didn't know that actually a Father's Day service here, we went out to dinner afterwards and I couldn't hardly move. And I didn't realize how much damage I'd done to my back. I didn't realize the next morning I wouldn't be able to get out of my bed. And then an ambulance came to our house. And as they're taking me out on the gurney, it was like one of those weird things. The leaves are moving. And I'm like, what is this? And I didn't realize that I hurt my back so bad that there was going to be a surgeon in my back. I don't know, it was like for 6 hours, hon. And when he was done, he was talking to Sharon and stuttering a little bit. I don't know. It was so bad. All I could do was pick pieces out of that disc. And Jim's probably not going to be able to walk. Or if he does, he's going to have to walk with braces. And I didn't know that at the time I was laying in my hospital bed, that God would actually speak to me. And he would say, hey, Jim, I want you to grab the walker and you're going to be able to walk. And I said, no, I'm making this up. My legs don't work. This is what it is. And I've had a good life. I'm not going to be, you know, a whiner about this, just what it is. But you see, I'd been praying January, February, March, April, May, June, an hour a day. And something happened to me that I was actually on a connection with God that some little crazy part of me thought, if God is actually speaking to you and you don't do this, you're going to be paralyzed or... Jim, think about this. And I thought, what do I have to lose? If it's God, I'll walk. If it's not, then I'm going to do one of those, I've fallen and I can't get up, you know, one of those kind of things. And this is the truth. I grabbed hold of that walker and like something shot through my body. And I began to drag my legs. And I began to move. And I began to walk. And I could hardly even believe it. And then that very night, I thought, I'm going to try to, you know, stroll down the hallway. It was like 11:30 at night. Some of you have been at Hope Church for some years. You've heard me tell this. But about my life, but it has to do with prayer and it has to do with you and prayer. That prayer matters. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to God, but it's going to matter for you because when you pray, God fights your battles. Well, I went down the hallway and it's 11:30 at night and I turn around with my walker and all of a sudden there's a guy right there. Well, hello. It's not like I could have a blinker. You know, you can't just like do a maneuver with those things. They go straight. And he says, hey, how are you doing? Good. This is the honest truth. He says to me right there, do you believe that God healed you? I do. And he says, well, you better believe it because it's true. And then he handed me a penny with a cross punched through it. And, you know, you don't have pockets in your gown. So I went back to my room and I unzipped a little pad for my iPad, and I put it in there. And no kidding, Sharon came the next day and I said, I met a man last night. He's like, you did? And I said, yeah. And I said, and he gave me a penny with a cross punch through it. And she's like, of course he did. You know, cut the drugs on him. You know, it's a little. And I said, no, it's true. And she goes, of course it's true. And I said, open my iPad. Zipped it open. And I thought, okay, maybe it was a dream. Maybe I was hallucinating. Maybe, you know, they upped the drugs a little too. I mean, I didn't know. But I thought, if there is a penny in there with a cross, then something happened last night. Okay, if you would be telling me this story, I'd be going, no. I don't mind if you think that, but it's true. Penny with a cross punched through it. And God literally had touched my body. Now, I remember my first Sunday coming back in church just with tears in my eyes. Couldn't even believe that God would give me the privilege to come back to church with my walker. And that every time we do worship and stand, I always stand. And here's why. Because I remember the time when I thought I'd never be able to stand again. And I'm telling you, friends, prayer matters. And if you think prayer doesn't matter, I'm telling you, prayer does matter, and it changed my life. You know, the guy who wasn't supposed to be able to walk again, you know, Friday after work, you know, I rode 38 miles on my bike again. And I thank God for him being true. Absolutely true. Now, who was that guy who I met in the hallway? I have no idea. I've never seen him again. And I don't know. But I still have the penny with a cross punch through it. I'll tell you that much. Listen to this. It's so good. With all prayer and petition. What does that mean? Petition is like a specific prayer. All prayers is praying for all kinds of things. So Paul says, listen, when you're praying, pray all prayers and petitions. In other words, you know, you can pray with your eyes open, your eyes shut, kneeling down, standing up, in your car. And you know, I'm one of those people, like, if, you know, if I was in a room and they said, hey, would people look up at me? I'm the guy who, like, opens one eye to see who's looking. Do any of you do that? Oh, you're terrible, just like me. But, you know, I mean, here's the deal. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray with your eyes shut. You can pray for everybody in this world. I prayed this morning for my friend. He gets to be back up here for the first time in weeks. He was in the hospital, and he had COVID, and he was so sick, and I just felt like the Lord impressed upon me, pray for Charles. And I would write him. He goes, Jim, I'm so scared. They said they're going to put me on the ventilator. And I just felt with the power of God, I was praying for him. I said, Charles, you've got to make yourself breathe. You have to breathe. And he sent me I've been texting him back and forth, and he sent me a note yesterday. And he said, thank you for all your prayers. You have no idea how much all of the prayers have made a difference in my life. And today's the first day. I mean, he's still beat up, but today's the first day he gets to do right now, right what we get to do as a pastor, and it's such an honor. I don't care if you pray when you're traveling. I don't care if your hands are folded, your eyes are open or not. The bottom line is you have to develop a habit of prayer. And it's hard. I mean, it's really hard. And then it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. What does it mean, pray at all times? Like your boss comes in, stop, I'm praying. No, it's not saying, you know, you can't work, or, you know, you're at a stoplight. Although I did about pray for the guy in front of me coming to work this week. Light turns green. I'm being nice. Still being nice. He's looking at his phone. I can see him. Give a little beep. Still looking at his phone. I'm like, oh, Jesus, cause me to prayer. And then the guys behind me are honking at me. So I'm like, all right, I'm done. He finally looks up, the light turns. Jesus, come. I mean, we need prayer. It's not for God's good. It's for my good. And if that was you in this church and you're here now, be doing the altar at the end of service. But we need to pray. And it's like this isn't part of the armor, but the armor has to be bathed in prayer. You think you're going to win the war spiritually. If you're not doing anything spiritual, you're not. At least that's how I think the Word of God instructs us. Stott writes this, we equip ourselves with God's armor, but it's not just some mechanical operation. It's an expression of our dependence upon God. It is prayer in the Spirit promoted and guided by Him. Just in the verse before, right, it talks about that we use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We pray the Word of God. Scripture and prayer belong together as really the two chief weapons in our arsenal against the devil. There's a supernatural provision in prayer. We go to battle fully armed, and we have confidence and assurance when we know we're being led by God. In Romans, it says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but His Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. We pray in the Spirit. We allow the Spirit of God to pray through us. We pray to the one true God. You can never go wrong when you pray the Word of God. We talked about that last week. That's how Jesus defended Himself against the devil. I read something on Facebook this week, and I'm like, okay, that is another option. A guy who was selling a little thing, it had two feathers, and it had some string around it, and it had the jawbone of a hawk that he found, and part of it was attached to a rock that he found by a volcano that he stumbled upon. And then there was a little other part, I think it was like the hair off of the person or something weird, like the person who he saved from dying in front of the post office. And it was all wrapped together with two pieces of twine given to him from two friends. And he was selling it for $500. And I'm like, and I'm reading the comments, and someone's like, dude, you need to get off the drugs. But I mean, there's so much goofy stuff out there. And like, you know, if you're going to pray for somebody, pray for them. You know, I'm sending you positive thoughts. Woo. What is that? How do I send you a positive thought? I mean, we're nuts. God Almighty wants us to talk to Him. He wants to go battle for us. And we're like, I'm going to send you a whoo. We're here, the jawbone of a hawk. And yeah, I was tripping on something and I found this. I'm wrapping up. It's like $500. Friends, there literally is a God. And He cares about you. And He wants to direct your life. You don't have to be spending $500 on a juju bead. I'm telling you. I mean, I was tripping, thinking, we're absolutely nuts. We need to realize that God Almighty cares. And He wants you to be in contact with Him. Wow. All right, let's go back to my, all right, remember this? For y'all. Oh, you're good. That's all. Almost. Any preacher who says, now it's time to sum it up, you're going, that ain't all. Almost. Listen to what this says here. It says, and with this in view, in other words, prayer and petition at all times, allowing God's Spirit not only in you, but to pray through you. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. So this is how I prayed an hour a day. And it's nothing new. But I love in Matthew chapter 6, it makes an assumption here. And listen to these assumptions. And when you pray, right? So it's making the assumption you are praying. Don't be like hypocrites. For they love to stand praying in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward openly. In other words, you can pray by yourself, but you're not by yourself. That God cares, and God not only hears you, God can answer your prayers. I cannot tell you what an honor it is for me as a pastor to over and over and over and over and over and over and over again hear about people whose lives have been absolutely changed because they got serious about prayer. They are worrying less, less anxiety, because they're praying more. But prayer is hard. Anyone who says, oh, it's easy, I'm telling you, it's never been easy for me. It's like going on a diet. To me, there's nothing easy about prayer, but the result of prayer is absolutely incredible. Incredible. Yeah, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. You don't need a juju bead and a feather and the mouth of a hawk and two strings from a friend. You just need to have an honest heart. And I love how David prayed. Sometimes he was so angry. There's been times I've prayed I'm really angry, and God's big enough that he gets it. I mean, he's not going to go, oh, you're angry. Next. He wants us to be real with him. So here's kind of what I learned. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have before you ask him. You're like, well, then why do I ask him? Because you need to have relationship with him. It's about you connecting with God. He's not your, like a vending machine. You punch in this and this pops out. Here's how he says to pray. And this is how I pray. Super simple. I've mentioned this before, but it's good to be mentioned again. Our Father in heaven. And I pause right there. I go, man, I'm glad you're there. Things are just messed up down here. Thank you that you're in heaven. Hallowed be your name. In other words, holy are you. And I just pause there a minute and say, God, thank you. Oh, my goodness, God, thank you. It's you. You're holy. You're wonderful. And then get your priorities straight. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, God. Oh, what would you want to do here, God? What's your will? What's your plan? I don't know what's going on in the other room. I don't know what's going on in the other parts of the world. You do. God, I've got to have my focus right. That's for your will be done, God. Okay, on earth as is in heaven. Then we focus on us. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, God. I'm really freaked out about what's coming. I don't know what's coming. I've got like fear. I got, okay, Jim, focus on today. Because when you don't focus on today, you have no idea if tomorrow's coming and you can't relive yesterday. Okay, God, that's good. Let me get perspective today. And then I like this. Lord, forgive me my debts as I forgive those who have been against me. And then I think, okay, Lord, I really want forgiveness, Am I holding a grudge? Am I allowing something that somebody has done to impact my life in such a way? And that's how I pray. And, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, temptation's coming. I know it. Help me to take your way, God. Help me to go your way. And then I'm reminded, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I'm like, oh, you are in charge. And that's how I pray. And I am telling you, it's helped my life. Now, do I pray all the time? No. Should I pray more? Yeah. Is prayer still hard for me? Yeah. Do sometimes when I pray, I get sidetracked and I think about tacos and pizza and other things? I do. But I'm trying. That's the thing. I honestly, friends, I'm trying. I know I need to be connected to God because I don't know when I'm going to need that faith again. I want to be connected to God. And that's how you do it if you want to carry this armor and not have it get rusty on you. Okay. And then here comes the part where that's all almost. Paul goes on to say, not only pray, but for all the saints. I love this. We're not alone. We're not like the only church that's meeting. There are a lot of Christians. And right now it feels like in America, the Christians are almost, you know, getting put into a little box. We're not in a little box because there's God. There's a God who cares and there's a God who can, and he can make a difference. He can pour out revival on this nation where we can't even have enough room for people because they have come to know Christ. Paul goes on, but I am almost done. It says this, and pray for me too, and ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain the mystery, God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. In other words, Paul is saying this, God, give me, pray for me that I can have clarity and I can have courage. It goes on and he says, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep speaking boldly for him as I should. Paul's in chains. I don't know if there's a paradox here. In Paul's day, the rich people, when they would have a party or they would have a festive occasion, the women and men, they would wear gold bands and gold chains. And I don't know if Paul is saying, I'm wearing my bands. I'm wearing my chains because I'm representing the one who was crucified for me. And it wasn't like, oh, feel sorry for me. It's like, yeah, I've got what I've got. I've got chains on, just like the rich people do. But my chains are for the King of Kings. For the one, even though I am a murderer, Paul says, the one who died for me and through a prayer saved my soul. Man, I love that. Then he talks about, okay, to bring you up to date, Tychius will give you a full report about what I'm doing and how I'm getting along. He's a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give, I love this, it's so great. May he give you love with faithfulness. May his grace be eternally upon all who love the Lord. You know, he talks about their peace, love, grace. These are words that matter, but that grace and peace, they're so perfect right here. That's how he started the book. May you find grace because you need God. And he's got grace for you to forgive you your sins. And as a result of that, you will have peace. You will have peace in your life. Man, what a great verse. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with that, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We're here to help you grow in Christ. You have to choose to grow. We're here to help, but you've got to choose to be a friend if you want a friend. You've got to choose to hang out on Wednesday night if you want to grow deeper. You've got to choose to be part of a men's Bible study on Friday or the ladies' thing that they do tonight or a bunco or that stuff. You've got to choose to seek the Lord. You've got to choose to serve the Lord. You've got to choose to share the Lord. And I'm promising you, it'll change your life. All right, let's pray together. God, wow. Paul's in prison and we get to benefit 19 weeks from him thoughtfully thinking about you, and what a blessing to us. God, a simple prayer is this: would you help us to pray? Would you help us to pray? Would you help us to be in communication with you, even if it's super awkward at first, if it's 2 minutes, and then 4 minutes, and then 6 minutes. Lord, you help us, we pray. God, I thank you for the friends here at Hope Church. I pray, oh God, bless them, keep them. May your face radiate about them and give them peace in this week. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray, amen. Let's stand together.